This is David Harlow on Health Blog, and I am speaking today with Leah Binder, CEO of the Leapfrog Group. Thank you for joining us today, Leah.
It's a pleasure.
I am interested in a number of things that your organization is doing, but the opportunity for our conversation today is connected with the upcoming Chasing Zero conference that's going on next week in Washington. Sponsored by Cardinal Health. But for starters, I would like to ask if you could describe in, I don't know, 25 words or less, the mission of the Leapfrog Group.
We represent large employer purchasers in the country in leveraging their purchasing power to try to influence improvements in quality in America's hospitals.
That's great. So, what I understand is that you collect a tremendous amount of information and try to put that information to use in productive ways. Most recently, I saw in the news a few weeks ago information that's been collected by Leapfrog and also by CMS, Medicare and Medicare Services and the government. We've seen basically two sets of quality indicators and publication of those indicators on the web. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit to the differences between the approaches of your organization and CMS.
Well, there are more similarities than differences. It's very important to Leapfrog that we harmonize our measures with the measures that CMS is using, as well as health plans and hospitals. I think the goal for all of us is ultimately to have in this country a dashboard we can all use to understand and immediately know the differences in quality of various providers. So I would say, first and foremost, there are similarities. I think CMS is a little more cautious in their approach to the number of indicators and measures that they are really using to influence their payment policies, whereas Leapfrog really is pushing to use measures of quality as in sort of a pay-for-performance way. So we would really encourage health plans and certainly employers to pay more for better performance and pay less for poor performance. And we'd like to see more of that happening in the marketplace.
Has that started to happen in the marketplace that's defined by your member employers?
It has started happening. There are some pockets of real energy. So, for example, the state of Maine, state employees are charged more if they use hospitals that do not meet Leapfrog standards. That has had a very profound impact on the hospital community in Maine. New Jersey has, through Horizon Blue Cross and Blue Shield, been using something called the Leapfrog Hospital Rewards Program to offer incentives and bonuses that are quite substantial to hospitals that demonstrate improvements or demonstrate achievements in their performance. So the Leapfrog Hospital Rewards Program is something we are also going into sort of generation two with, and we expect to see many more health plans using that system. But there are other places where, like in Seattle, Boeing has been very active in Leapfrog and really using many incentives to try to encourage their employees to use high-performing hospitals.
Right. Now, do you see this approach as influencing quality in other hospitals and in the, you know, the existing high-quality hospitals that you've identified? Do you
I see
see
quite a
a
lot of.
greater improvement?
It's hard to measure whether it's greater or the same kind of improvement that you see from any other kind of incentive. I mean, I guess I have to be honest, I couldn't necessarily measure that. It would have to be anecdotal information and to say that when a hospital knows that their own market, their own service area, the folks that use their facilities are going to know how this hospital's doing, that that can have a profound influence because almost more than the money, certainly, is simply the reputation that a hospital has in their community. If they can demonstrate that their quality is superior, obviously that's something that you know is going to incentivize them, hopefully, to make the kinds of profound changes that are necessary to really see improvements in performance.
Now, I wanted to turn a little bit to the subject of this Chasing Zero conference that's coming up next week. And I wanted to ask, sort of as a follow-up to the Leapfrog Hospital survey of the last year or so, which showed that really the vast majority of hospitals really don't take all of the recommended steps to prevent avoidable infections. Is merely asking the question enough, or what are the other steps that you think can be taken in those hospitals?
Well, we have to hold hospitals accountable for taking those steps. And the first step is what Leapfrog can do, which is make the information available and publicly report on a hospital-by-hospital basis on whether or not hospitals are taking the steps that are important for prevention of infection. So we start with transparency. And then we have to use incentives and rewards, and that's kind of a second pillar of what Leapfrog is all about, is, as we've been discussing, this concept of introducing the idea that we are actually going to pay for improved or achieved performance, and we are not going to pay as well when we don't see that performance. And I think that's, so we start with transparency, and then we need to start to get the marketplace to respond to what we know. And that's sort of the perspective that Leapfrog would take. How a hospital handles it internally is it needs to be on the top of the agenda for every hospital CEO to address hospital-acquired infections. It is that leadership in hospitals takes this as a very important and serious priority. It's very hard for them to do that because addressing infections has not in the past been tied to their reimbursement. It's not been tied to their bottom line, and hospital executives do need to worry about their bottom line, quite obviously. No one wants to deny that fact. Infections just don't always obviously impact the bottom line the way they should. What we need to do, as far as employers, is to try to change that dynamic, make it clear to hospital leadership that this will impact your bottom line. This is of major importance. This is going to affect your market share, and it's time to put this higher on the priority list.
Right. In fact, I would say historically that the hospital acquired infections have, to a certain extent, improved the bottom line for hospitals. With
sure.
Readmissions
yeah,
and resurgeries, so that's
mm-hmm.
It is an irony. I'm wondering whether the there are sort of too many markers on the table. Are there too many goals on the table, or are you focusing on hospital-acquired infections alone? I thought you're also focusing in your organization, as well as CMS, on a number of other pay-for-performance or never events. I guess my question is, are there too many targets for hospitals to achieve? Are they spread too thin?
When my child is admitted to a hospital, I expect that they will be safe. And if it's too much for a hospital to account for all the factors that would assure that safety, then that hospital should be out of business. Because quite frankly, it is long past time that hospitals begin to take all aspects of safety as seriously as they do, achieving the highest level of reimbursement. And that is something that it is incumbent on us as consumers of healthcare, as parents, as family members, to really demand the highest level of safety. We pay for that. We pay a lot of money in this country for healthcare, and we certainly put a lot of respect and trust into the hands of providers of healthcare. I think the least we can expect in return is that they keep our family members safe, and that requires more than just one thing. It is very difficult, and it's something that hospitals have not always been, frankly, great at, which is making systems changes, and they have to change how they do business. And it is long past time that we made it clear that we want that to happen now.
One of the questions or one of the problems that people have raised with respect to pay-for-performance programs is that if you incentivize a hospital or a health system to focus on indicator X, Y, or Z, then there are other things that sort of fall off the table. So I guess the question there is, are there particular indicators that you have confidence in are indicative of a broader area of quality, rather than having a focus on if a hospital focuses on one particular indicator because that's what their payment incentive is tied to, the danger is that other things will fall by the wayside. So in the Leapfrog group's work, have you identified particular indicators that are really valuable more broadly than just with respect to a particular measurement, that they have an impact on a broader piece of the healthcare delivery?
I will say that we have focused the Leapfrog survey on, just as you're saying, on some very specific aspects of patient safety and quality that we believe are telling about the overall safety and quality of the hospital. So we have focused on patient safety indicators and best practice indicators that are known to affect the overall safety of every patient who walks in to the hospital. So, for example, does the hospital have intensivist coverage in its ICU? That can reduce, that's been demonstrated to reduce mortality by as much as 50%. Does the hospital have computerized physician order entry? In other words, a system for managing its prescriptions and medication administration that's computerized. That's been shown to reduce errors by anywhere from 50 to 100%. We're talking about a lot of errors that can be averted. We use a bundle. We offer a score on a bundle of safe practices, which are NQF-endorsed practices that are demonstrated to affect a safe environment. And we also look at the mortality and volume rates for certain common procedures, and we offer a sort of a predictor of the survivability of the average patient going in that hospital for those procedures. So those are really the cornerstones of what Leapfrog looks at, which again, our experts and our employers have agreed really do suggest through the evidence, seem to suggest that a hospital has a better or less or not so great record of patient safety. So you're safer no matter what specific procedure you're walking into a hospital. If you can demonstrate that you're going to a hospital that scores well on those indicators, we feel confident that you're going to a high quality hospital.
Great. So it is possible to sort of extrapolate from a smaller number of indicators to a broader sense of general safety score, if you will, for an institution.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
Yeah.
perfect, and there's certainly nothing that is perfect, but
Right.
we do think that that gets closer to. And,
Mm-hmm.
I know that there is a sense that pay for performance by its nature does need to focus in on certain particular aspects of what a provider does, and so therefore encourage a provider to focus only on those aspects. When they're focused on patient safety, they're generally focused on the entire system, their whole hospital. You can't reduce infections unless every single person in the hospital knows when to wash their hands and does it and follows the protocols. That takes more than simply, issuing a memo. I mean, you've really got to be
Right,
committed.
right.
You've really got to bring people in. So that's when you see a hospital that's that committed and demonstrating those kinds of results, that tends to be a higher quality hospital.
So some providers complain about having to track and report on an ever-increasing number of indicators, particularly on the CMS side. They seem to add more and more each year. So would you say that it's possible to, as in with your experience, to limit the number of indicators to a more manageable list and still get the same impact in terms of safety and quality?
Yeah, I think that's got to be a goal for all of us. As I said, we are really aiming toward having a harmonized set of indicators that are used by CMS and employers and health plans and others who are interested in the quality of healthcare. We aren't there yet, but I think that's definitely got to be a goal. We can't have hospitals spending all their time collecting indicators and not actually spending their time achieving results on those indicators. Obviously, all of us want the hospital working on the results. At the same time, we're so new in this game. We shouldn't be new, by the way. It's almost unbelievable to a lot of people who don't necessarily know how the healthcare system works that we're only now figuring out how to collect data on the effectiveness of hospitals. But that's in fact the case. We are very new to this, and we've got to have a little patience as we get through it. But it is our goal at Leapfrog for sure, and I know at CMS as well, to get these indicators harmonized and start to get a smaller set, a dashboard, if you will, that people can really use to decide where to go for their health care.
Right, I think that'd be very, very valuable. I mean, are there other things that you would like to see happen in terms of harmonizing with the public sector? Are there things that you've been talking about with CMS that you would have to say to your public sector counterparts at this Chasing Zero conference next week?
Well, I think we do need more research into outcome measures and as well as so-called process measures that affect outcomes and how they affect outcomes. Oftentimes, a lot of our indicators that we've been using, a lot of the measures that have been approved by NQF, really are measuring how healthcare is delivered. Did you consult this guide, or was there this protocol implemented before you did this? I mean, those kinds of things are obviously important to providers, but what we need to understand from a consumer perspective is they want to know, how does that impact whether I do well or not in my treatment? Am I going to be better because of this? And we just have such a dearth of outcome indicators, and ultimately that's what people need. That's what you want to know before you go to a hospital. You don't want to know that the radiologist looked at the screen a certain way. You don't care about that. You just want to know, am I going to do all right? And are they good at getting people to their maximum health? Are they good at it? And that's what we aren't able to always tell people. So I'd like to see more research in that area and more approved measures in those in outcomes.
Now, some providers and other critics of this sort of never events payment system will say that some hospital acquired infections are unavoidable, that there's a certain percentage that maybe should be your target rather than zero as a target. And it sort of reminds me of other government regulation efforts in the past, where the legislation sort of came up with a zero tolerance approach, and in the real world, the regulations had to approach it with a substantial compliance approach, that you can't really get to zero. I mean, do you think that this is sort of a Sisyphean task that's unachievable, or is it in fact really achievable?
I think
Reducing
it's
healthcare
achievable.
acquired infections.
I think it's achievable. I think we have to set our sights as high as possible. Reducing infection, to use a term that's strangely appropriate, it's not brain surgery. If hospitals can handle brain surgery, why can't they handle reducing infection? This is not brain surgery. It is simple protocols that are known that can reduce or eliminate it. Now maybe we'll go down. We'll set our sights high. We go for the best of the best. We expect the best of the best from our healthcare system as they are capable of delivering. And then if they can't do it 5 years from now, and they say, "Look, we've reduced it by so much, but we can't get down to the zero," then maybe I guess we'll revisit it at that point. But right now, I think it is perfectly appropriate for us to have the highest possible expectations of the best healthcare system in the world.
Absolutely. So, my home state of Massachusetts has just recently passed legislation that will get a registry off the ground for healthcare acquired infections, and they need to now define what is a serious reportable event, etc. And what advice might you have for Massachusetts in getting this system off the ground?
Well, I think they could start with the NQF endorsed, or the NQF definition of a serious reportable adverse event. There are 28 particular situations that have been defined as such. And then they obviously are going to need to look at their own internal procedures for coding and contracting that in order to identify those particular events and decide to what extent they can their own definition can adhere to what we recommend at Leapfrog, which is the NQF definition. And I just want to say one other thing about never events. You mentioned it's never events as a financing policy. You know, we have Leapfrog Group was the first organization to issue a policy on never events, and our policy is not a financing policy, although it does include as one of its principles that people should not be charged for the services related to a never event. So that clearly got a lot of attention. But it also has other parts to it that we think are equally important, such as that a patient who has experienced a never event should be apologized to, and that hospitals should do root cause analyses and publicly report the event. Those things are also very important, we think, and should be part of our thinking. Those are restoring the simple humanity of the experience to the patient, for one thing. But also, it is looking at how we prevent them from happening in the future. The best way to really do that is to have a more open, transparent culture, and to also get hospitals to do the kind of root cause analysis that will ultimately prevent it from occurring again.
Yeah, it goes beyond just the payment issue if we want to really work on improving
Absolutely.
quality.
Absolutely.
So what one type of infection that's been in the news a lot in the past year or so has been the MRSA. And I'm wondering if any of the information that you're tracking or protocols that you may recommend are MRSA specific, or if they're infection directed at infection in general.
Well, they're directed at infection in general, but that would include MRSA. And the problem we've had with really getting our arms around the problem with MRSA is until CMS issued its regulation requiring prednisone admission data be collected by hospitals, we had no way of actually knowing what MRSA was coming from hospitals and what was community acquired. And not, I mean, that does matter a lot, and it also matters in terms of how the infection spreads and when we're even aware that it exists, et cetera. There just weren't any protocols to do that, and it's common of all kinds of infections. So I think now we're making some real progress now that CMS has required the prednisone admission data and is taking a much more aggressive approach around infections in general.
Well, I have a couple of questions for you in terms of looking to the future, and one is with healthcare very much in the public eye through the presidential campaign, I'm wondering what you see as the potential for change as it relates to the issues we've been discussing come November, come January. What could happen in a new administration that would improve things from your perspective, or what things that you think are likely to happen would have an effect on the work that you're doing?
I think that if the leadership from CMS in encouraging pay-for-performance kinds of models or non-pay-for-non-performance kinds of models, if we continue to see that leadership, which I believe, regardless of who is in the White House, we will continue to see that leadership, then I think we will ultimately see a transformation in the way healthcare is delivered and financed in this country. I think that thinking about healthcare as something that you need to get value from, you need to get great care at a good price, is just a completely new way of approaching the whole healthcare system. And as soon as more Americans start approaching their own healthcare that way and more employers start purchasing care that way, I think that will really transform the healthcare system. And in a way, it has to happen. I mean, ultimately, the financing model for healthcare in our country really isn't going to work. So regardless of who's in the White House, They're going to have to find a way to get people to look for the best possible care for themselves at the best possible price, because with the aging of the baby boomers and the current financing structure of healthcare, it's just not tenable. And I think we're going to have to look to all of us individually, not just government in Washington or our employer. We're going to have to look at ourselves to figure out how we can contribute to improving the situation. So I think that the change that's coming is going to be quite substantial, regardless of who's in the White House, and it will be really driven in part by our own use of healthcare.
Are there any hopes or wishes that you would have for the future in addition to what you've just talked about in terms of change coming down the pike in Washington?
My biggest hope is that as we move to improve access to healthcare for the millions of Americans who are uninsured, which I think is a huge issue, and I wholeheartedly support efforts to reduce or eliminate the number of uninsured people, to get people insured. As we improve access to care, we also really address the issue of quality and do so at the same time. I think it would be disastrous if we were to suddenly expand access to everyone without actually scrutinizing what it is we're giving them access to. And our healthcare system needs fundamental reforms to improve its quality, and we need to do that at the same time, or else we are just creating a bigger and bigger problem.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Leah Binder, CEO of the Leapfrog Group, who will be participating in the Chasing Zero Summit of September 8th and 9th in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank
And
you.
I've enjoyed this conversation very much.
So have I. Thanks a lot.